Quick question. Do you have a donation bag, bin, or box sitting in your house somewhere waiting to be taken out of your house and actually donated? I do. I do right now, especially because I'm on this quest to declutter 500 of my things while I radically simplify because we're having to move homes. But I think it happens to a lot of us, and there's no judgment here because, like I just said, I am volunteering myself to be the first person on this chopping block. But we get so motivated to actually declutter, right? You go through the closets, you go through the drawers, and you are pumped up and you are ready. But you had to make a lot of really hard decisions to get those things out of your home. And then you have to do the next step, which is, what do I do with all this stuff? So you are not lazy. You are not incapable. This is not a personality flaw or a human trait that you need to overcome. We need to understand that this is just a second decision that has to be made. And so many of us are used to that first decision, right? That first part. We know that we're in it for that part, but we forget that we have to close the loop and finish it out. And as I've been going through my own home and sharing the journey on Instagram, I have had people comment to me, what do I do with the stuff? They don't want it to go in the landfill. They don't want to be wasteful with the stuff. They call me wasteful because they say that I'm not following my own advice when I'm decluttering 500 things from my home again. But you know what? I've lived here 5 years and life accumulates. Our daughter is in a completely different stage of life than she was. I've got a lot of things going on. I'm growing. I'm trying new hobbies. I want to live my life. And so sometimes stuff comes along with that. You get gifted things from other people. What are you going to do with it? So I think it's okay if over 5 years, I've had 1,000 things accumulate for my things. And I know we're going to declutter more stuff than that because my family is finally on board with being more minimalist. Yeah, you heard me. We went to tour apartments and there was one that is so gorgeous. It's this beautiful townhome, has amazing finishes. And my family was like, ooh, I could get on board with having less stuff, with being a minimalist in that house. The environment made them want to have less. So I'm really excited about this. We might be turning over a new leaf. We will see. Time will tell. But I just think it's really interesting. So I know we're going to be donating and decluttering a lot of things over the next month. And I want to make sure that you understand what your options are when you're decluttering, because this question comes up quite a lot. So that's what we're talking about today. I'm going to give you permission to get those bags out of your car, out of your house, stop stuff shifting, and tell you the truth about where your stuff goes. Not just, you know, glossing over it, not just say, just go drop it off at your nearest donation center, okay? I think you can handle it. I think you knowing where it goes is actually going to make you feel a lot better, and giving you some alternatives to just the big box drop-offs is going to help as well, okay? So let's get into it. I'm Deanna Yates. I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, and you are listening to episode 324. If you are new here, please subscribe so you don't miss any of the episodes. I have some amazing guests coming up for you as we go into the fall here, and I know you're not going to want to miss them. Plus, I think it's going to be a really fun journey for us moving into a new home and seeing how it goes. I think moving is the best impetus to declutter, and you know what? I think we can use those lessons, even if you're not having to move, to actually get your home to function and run for you. So it is not running you. You are actually back in the driver's seat running your home. All right. If that sounds good, follow along. You can find me on Instagram. I am at Wannabe Clutter Free over there as well. All show notes for today are at wannabeclutterfree.com/324. And I'm looking at putting a new resource together for you based on this episode. So make sure you check it out. It will be over there waiting for you. Okay. So as I was saying, when we're decluttering, we know that first decision, right? But there are two decisions that live inside every declutter. First, should this leave? Do I want to keep this? Does it spark joy? All of those questions that so many people like me tell you, right? This is how we make these decisions to get these things out of our home. Do you have a duplicate? Is it something you love? Would you clean poop off of it if it got poop on it? That's the newest one. But we don't talk about where should it go, right? We all just think, oh, that's the easy part. Like step one, declutter it. Step three, your house is great. But what about step two? Well, we have to take that stuff somewhere. It has to leave our house. And so most people are super good at the first part, right? My whole podcast is built around that first one. The second one is where our momentum dies, where we kind of stall out. You'll declutter a closet and then the stuff will just go in a corner and it'll either stuff shift all around your house and get moved to a different closet, get removed to a different corner, finally get bagged up, put in your car, and then it sits in there for 6 weeks while you drive around not knowing what to do with it. We don't spend the time driving those 4 miles to a donation center or deciding as we're putting it into a bag, where should it actually go? And so I want you to know that this is super common. I do hear this all the time. And, you know, I thought it was finally time to really address it. I believe I've talked about it before on different episodes or as part of episodes or even in my 19 for 19 ultimate decluttering bundle. But I want to make sure that you have the resource to come back to time and time again. And that's what this episode is about. Okay. Again, I've moved multiple times in my life, 16 times over my adult life. And at one point we decluttered 80 to 90% of what we owned. We lived in Boulder, Colorado at the time. There was a fantastic small local donation center that we gave a lot of our stuff to. But over time, right, life has lifed. We've moved a lot of places. We've been given lots of things. We've purchased new things for our home. So now it's time for us to do it again. And I want us to be very cognizant about where these things go. And some things are going to go in the trash. I'm just going to go ahead and put that right out there because I'm not trying to have us be perfect. I am really of the belief that we need a lot of people doing things imperfectly, but trying their best, than a few people doing things 100% to the letter, perfectly, couldn't do it any better than that. Because a few people is not going to move the needle, but a lot of people will. And you're going to see that in some of the statistics and the, you know, things I bring up later in this episode. So if you're ever feeling guilty and thinking like, oh, well, I'm not able to do it perfectly, so you feel like you're a failure, you're giving up. No, that is actually what you should be doing. Just do it imperfectly. Do the best you can with the resources you have. And one of those biggest resources is time. Another one is energy. Look, it's all limited, right? That's our biggest resource, or our most limited resource is our time. Second, I think, is energy. We can build up our energy, but we're never getting more time back. So do what you can with the time you have and let the rest go. So let's talk about the truth about our donations, right? Most people in my industry will not tell you some of this stuff because they either think you'd rather not know, it's too nuanced, or it doesn't bother them. It doesn't move the needle for them, okay? But I do get a lot of pushback, and I see a lot of people online talking about what happens when our things get donated, the amount of things that end up in the landfill. Like, a lot of people will just tell you to throw stuff away. But I don't want it to be the first thing we do. I don't want us to just declutter everything and it go right in our garbage cans for the weekly pickup, okay? That is a privilege of living in the US that we need to get over. We need to be global citizens and think about how this is affecting everyone else as well. Because not everything you donate is going to get sold at a thrift store. The estimates here, it's kind of a big gap here. So anywhere between 10 to 30% of what you donate is actually put on the shelf to be sold. So that means 70 to 90% of what you donate is never going to get sold. It's never getting put out on the market. It's never going to get thrifted. It's never actually making the money for whatever donation center you're giving your things to. Caveat to that is if you actually donate good stuff, it will make it on the shelf. So you also have to be a little discerning about what you donate. And that's what I do with my stuff, especially with clothing, because clothing is one of the biggest environmental like discards that we have. So a lot of that is going to go to other countries and it gets baled and sold into the global secondhand trade market. And a lot of it's going to West Africa. And Ghana particularly takes roughly 15 million used garments of clothes. Guess how often that is? Do you think it's a year? Do you think it's a month? Uh-uh. It's a week. 15 million pieces of clothing a week. That's insane to me. I can't even fathom that number. I have zero idea of how much clothing that is, but that sounds like a lot to me, and I think it's way too much. Most of it is going to one market, one market, excuse me, in Accra, and it's called Contamanto, and about 40% of that is unsellable when it arrives. Okay, so quick math, half of 15 is 7.5. So 40% is unsellable. So we're looking at probably, 5 million pieces of clothing is unsellable. So what are they supposed to do with it, right? It's not fair to put off our bad decisions or our knee-jerk decisions or the things we made in an instant regret clothing piece that we're buying that we don't like having, that we just are like, I'll just donate it and someone else can have it. We are pushing that. We're kicking the can down for somebody else. Okay. So I want us to first start thinking about that as we are decluttering our things. I want us to feel a little guilty about it. I want us to feel guilty if we have so much stuff that we're getting rid of. I don't want that guilt to immobilize us and demotivate us and make us not do the work. I definitely don't want the stuff staying in your house, but I also don't want you bringing it in. I want you to think about the life of your things, its life cycle, what you're planning to do with it, because eventually whatever you bring in is going to go out, whether that's while you are here living, loving your life on this planet, or after you are gone and your kids or someone else is going to have to deal with it. So please, please, please think about that as we're bringing things in. I think that is the number one tip I want to give you today, and I'm not bearing the lead. I'm giving it to you too early, but there's a lot of other actionable tips in here, so stick around. But if nothing else happens from this episode, I want you to be really diligent about what you buy and make sure it's something you actually need, something you actually want, something you will actually use, and not something that you buy because you're bored, because you're trying to fill a void, because you're trying to satisfy a bad feeling or emotion, okay? Make sure it's something that you actually want. Okay, while we're on this topic of donation bins, have you ever driven around parking lots and you see those big metal, they're kind of like oversized garbage cans, but they have like a pull-down slot and you can put stuff in them. And they are generally sitting out there for clothing, right? They're actually asking for clothes to be donated. Well, I want to let you know a little secret. Not every one of those bins gives money to charity. They're not all charitable bins. And I think the marketing messages on them are deceiving and they make us think, oh, I'm doing a good thing. I'm giving my money to charity. But some of them are actually for-profit companies. And what they do is they just take those clothes, they bale them up, and they resell them to places like I just talked about in West Africa. Now, there's a app or a website called Charity Watch, and it has warned about this for years. Canada's Competition Bureau formally warned bin operators for giving people the false impression that proceeds went to charity. I know they're really convenient, though. So if you are wanting to make a change, here's some place I want you to think about. I want you to look for the real organization name on those bins. I want you to look for something called a 501c3. It's 501 and then in parentheses C in parentheses 3. It's a very specific tax code number in the US, and that means that that is a nonprofit organization. Okay, that's what that's called. So I want you to look for a phone number that goes to a person. If the bin talks about helping the planet and helping children and never says who runs it, then walk away. Okay, if you cannot call the company and it only makes you feel good on the outside that you think you're giving to a charity, then likely it's not a charity, and go look for another place to donate your things, because that's likely going to these 15 million pieces of clothing that go weekly to Ghana. Okay? Then we can find some other places. I'm going to give you some good places to donate your things, but we're going to get there in just a minute. Okay? The other issue I hear a lot with donating things comes back to the big box donation thrift centers. Okay. Now, it really depends on your local store. And I say this with pretty much everything, right? Locally, you're going to have to look at what donation centers are around, who runs them, and maybe do a little more digging. But I get a lot of pushback when people say, or I read online, that people shouldn't donate to Goodwill. And there are reasons that people feel uneasy about this. There are real reasons. And like I said, I trust that you can handle the nuance and I trust that you can handle the truth. So there is a provision in the federal labor law in the US that was put into action in 1938, and it allows some employers to pay disabled workers below minimum wage. Let that sit for a second. Now, Goodwill has historically been one of the larger users of this ability, this law. The Department of Labor proposed phasing the practice out in late 2024, but then withdrew that proposal in July of 2025. So the proposal is still there. It's still legal. It is still legal for companies to pay disabled workers below minimum wage. Now, not every Goodwill does this, because here is the surprising thing. Goodwill is not just one company. It's around 150 independent regional nonprofits, and each one has its own leadership, and each one files its own tax filing. So yes, there is a corporate umbrella of Goodwill where there is a CEO who makes a lot of money, but there's also all of these independent regional nonprofits. But each one might look completely different than one that's three states over. You can look up your own on, there's a site called ProPublica, and it takes about 2 minutes. Okay. So ProPublica, I will leave a link in the show notes and you can look it up and see if your Goodwill is someplace you want to donate or not. Okay. This is all back to your decisions and what you feel comfortable doing. I'm not going to guilt you into saying you can or cannot do something. Okay. This is what feels right for you and your family. Now, none of this means to stop donating. Okay? I do not want you to hold on to things in your house because you feel like, well, I don't know where to send them. I don't want to send them over to Ghana. I don't know where to send them. I don't want to give them to the Goodwill. I don't know what to do. I don't want, 70% of my stuff to end up in the garbage. Okay? Your house is also not a storage unit. It's a living space. It's a place for you to live and live your life well. And I don't want you to feel bogged down by these things because of this indecision. So let's start talking about where we can actually donate these things, okay? But before we get there, I really want to help you release the guilt. Because your guilt is not keeping anything out of the landfill. It's not, right? Just because it's in your house doesn't mean that someday it's not going to end up in the landfill. It already exists. So it exists on this planet. It is decomposing every day. So we either need to let someone else use it, and we need to get it out of our house. If we're not using it, let's get it out of our house, right? The bags in your trunk are not helping anyone while they're sitting in your trunk. They're making it harder for you to load up your trunk, load up your car. They make you feel guilty every time you look at them. The item already exists. It was already made. The water was already used. The purchase already happened. So your money has already been spent. All of that is behind you. We cannot change what already happened. The only question left is whether it goes to someone who will use it or whether it sits in your garage for 2 more years and then goes to the landfill anyway in worse condition. All right, so I want you to know that everything that we own eventually ends up in the landfill. Everything. The shoes you're wearing right now are going to wear out. Your towels are going to get holes in them. What we get to control is how much life happens in between, okay? That's what we get to control. How much we use them, how much we love them, and what happens to them, right? So you are allowed to throw away trash. Broken things, stained things, worn out things. Throwing away a ripped shirt is not a moral failure. Throwing away toys that are broken and another kid cannot play with is not a failure. Here's why. Here's what happened to me. Here's a story from my real life from this summer. My daughter and I volunteer at an organization here in San Diego that helps people transition. It's kind of the last step as they're transitioning out of homelessness. And it's kind of like HGTV, like where they come in and they redecorate an apartment. But all of the items are donated and we work in the warehouse to help source the products and get them ready for the team to actually decorate these homes. It's actually an amazing organization. I love working there. And it's one of my favorite volunteer opportunities. When we go there, the first thing we do, or one of the jobs for us to do, is to sort all of the donations that have come in. They have this huge, giant table, and the job is great, but it gets frustrating because as soon as you clear something off, there's more stuff on the table. They get so many donations. But I was going through this bag of donations, and I actually recorded some of the things I found because people donate garbage, literal garbage. Here's what I found. coloring books that were already used up, activity books where the games had already been played, dolls with missing heads, pieces that were broken, like little decorative things, like a little turtle with one of its fins broken off. Now, this is garbage, people. Throw it away. Do not make a volunteer spend their time or a paid worker spend their time throwing these things away. We need to pull up our big girl pants and say, you know what? That's not right. I wouldn't want my child to get donated this toy if this was the only toy that they were going to get in their new home. Is that the toy you would want them to have? No, no one's buying that. No one wants to play with it. And a doll without a head, I'm sorry, that is just wrong. Abhorrent was a word I saw today on something else. I'm going to use it here. That is abhorrent. You should not give a little child that's struggling with being housed a doll without a head. No one's liking that. Throw that thing away, okay? That's me off my soapbox. I will step down now. But really, why? It was just another step. It was another step that someone didn't take the time. They just shoved everything in a bag and said, okay, here, I'm going to make it someone else's problem, right? No, you are the person that bought this thing. You are the person that was taking care of it, or your kids were taking care of it. Take the moment and throw the bad thing away. That is okay. That needs to happen. If you can recycle it, please recycle it first. Recycle the coloring books and activity books. Don't make someone else do that for you, because there are less resources later, right? It's at this donation center. I don't have all the resources to be able to do all the sorting and the decluttering and the, I'm sorry, not decluttering, recycling and all of that at my disposal. I'm only there for a few hours. So most of that stuff then straight goes in the landfill. Whereas if you're doing it at home, some of it can be recycled. Okay, so think about that when you're decluttering and donating, okay? All right, so now that we have talked about the guilt and all of these nuanced moments about decluttering or donating, sorry, I want to give you 5 places where things can go. All right, let's do this. You know me, less clutter, more calm. And in our house, that goes for screens too, which is why summer makes me just a little bit nervous. The kids are home, a device is always within reach, and there's this thing called the summer slide, where the math and reading they've built up all year quietly starts to slip. So here's the one app I actually feel good handing my kiddo. It's called Gritty Kids. It comes from a best-selling logic workbook series and is a whole farm of puzzles. There's math, word games, logic, focus, and spatial reasoning. No ads, no timers, no streaks pulling them back in. It's about as close to pen and paper as screens get. And the thing is, kids love it. It keeps their brain sharp over break, and it's screen time that I don't feel guilty about. Find it at grittykids.com/clutterfree and use the code clutterfree for 30% off just for podcast listeners. grittykids.com/clutterfree. Okay, as I said at the top of this podcast, I will create this resource for you that's going to list a lot of places for your things to go. I think there might be close to 40 places or 40 different avenues for you to donate your things as they're coming out of your home. I'm not going to sit here and read a list of all 40 for you. I will leave a link in the show notes so that you can pick those up. But I'm going to give you basically 5 categories or ways to actually declutter your things or get them out of your house and donate them, okay? Very first is to give it away. Number one, give it away to people that you know will use it. My favorite for this is a buy nothing group, but I also have used Facebook Marketplace. I have used Nextdoor. I've done a free sale in my house, like, which just basically means I put everything on my front yard and put a free sign up and put a notice on my Buy Nothing group, told all my neighbors. My neighbors started bringing things over and putting them in my yard to go. That was really fun. but it was just a great way to get things out without having to list all of the individual things. So I highly recommend that instead of having to man a garage sale or a yard sale. My husband despises those things. So this was the alternative I came up with. Well, fine, we'll have a yard sale, but I'm just going to put everything for free, so I don't care what happens to it. I mean, I do care. I want people to come take it, but I don't care if they pay me a quarter for it or if they just come take it. I don't have to worry about it. I want it to leave my yard, and it does. In your Buy Nothing group, super easy. You'll just post a picture. Those groups are hosted on Facebook, in a Facebook group. Sorry if you don't know that. should start with that. You just post a picture like you're selling it, but you're just giving it away for free. And then generally, I just put them on my porch, have a little conversation with people in the private messages, give them my address. They pick it up at their leisure. I put that it was already given and we're all good. It's super easy. All right. So that's number one, is to give it away first. I love this because I know the items are going to other people that will use them. They want them. They requested them. They're purposely going out of their way to come pick up that specific item. I've given away rugs, furniture, clothing, toys, so many different things in these communities. Number two is to sell it. But there's a big but here. Only if you have the bandwidth, okay? I do not want your house stressing you out. So if the idea of listing all of these things, like if you don't have enough time to list something for free on Buy Nothing, you definitely do not have enough time to list to sell something. It can become a full-time job. As somebody who did this with 85% of my stuff, gave away, donated, decluttered 85% of our stuff at one point in our life, selling became a full-time job. It was so stressful. So if you are going to sell something, make sure, one, you have a limit on what that threshold is. Maybe it's over $10. Maybe it's over $20. Maybe it's over $50. You have to decide how much time you have and how much you want to value your time at. And then only do this with the highest value things first. I would start with your highest value thing and work down. That way, if you run out of steam, you've gotten the big things done, right? You're not starting and wasting all your energy on these $5 items and never getting to the $500 item, when you could have done that one $500 item, and that's worth $105 items. So look at the energy discrepancy there. And so start big, work down to small. If you run out of time, now you can just donate the $5 items or give them away for free, okay? Now, one update that is worth mentioning, Vinted is a new app that it's new to me, that I've just started using. It's in the US now. It does not charge sellers a fee. So Poshmark is going to take 20%, I think. eBay is around 13%. Depop, I think, charges you $3 or 3%. So all of these are going to cost you as the seller, but Vinted is new and it only charges the buyer. And the buyer pays for shipping and the buyer pays the Vinted service fee. And so I actually just sold a pair of jeans on there. I wanted to test it for this episode. So I'm in the process of mailing the jeans. They're in the mail on the way to the buyer. But it was really convenient. It was really easy for me to do. I just snapped some pictures right in the app. Very easy description. And they sold overnight. So that was really fun. That was my first one I've done. I'm definitely going to do some more. I've picked out kind of the nicer clothing pieces, the more brand name things that I have, and I'm going to try to sell them first. And if they don't sell in a week, then they get to go be decluttered or donated. I'm having a really hard time deciphering between decluttering and donating today. I am so sorry. So thank you for sticking with me and all of my little mix-ups there. And then Facebook Marketplace is good for anything you don't want to ship. So if you have bigger pieces, I definitely recommend Facebook Marketplace, and I will be utilizing that once we find a place to where we're moving, and I'll be able to see how much of our furniture fits. Things that don't fit will definitely be up for sale. Those bigger furniture pieces, I absolutely recommend trying to sell them if you have the time, like I said, because they're going to be the biggest bang for your buck, right? So number two is to sell it, but only if you have the bandwidth. Number three is to donate local and specific. Okay, so here's where we start to dive into the difference between just take it to the big box donation center and drop it off, which if that's all the time you have, please go ahead, do that. It is okay. I understand there are times in my life where that is the only bandwidth I have. That's the only energy level I have. If I would have had to get everything out of my house last week, it would have been really hard. Okay. A lot of you that have been following me know, we got notice that our house was selling. So I have a couple months on that, but gosh darn, did it really put a fire under my behind. My husband had back surgery. He can't lift anything, you guys, for like 6 weeks. And he was really in it last week. It was like a week before. And it was really bad. He was really struggling, you know, right after surgery. It wasn't, we the recovery process was a little different than we were expecting. But emotionally, it's a lot. I am spent. It's the start of school, had to get my daughter back in school, had to tell her about the move. There is so much going on. If I had to be out of my house last week, you bet your dollar I would have just put it all on my front yard and been like, take it. And then I would have called someone to come pick it up. And I wouldn't have felt guilty about it because I didn't have any more to give. I would have been doing the best I could and would have been giving all I could. At some point, there is a breaking point. You're not Superwoman. Like, you're amazing. I'm not Wonder Woman. Like, there's only so much I can handle. And so if that's where you're at and you have to go to the donation center, go there. If you have more bandwidth, then listen up. I want you to donate local and specific. I want you to think about who needs the exact thing you have. So are there domestic violence shelters in your location? Are there refugee resettlement agencies? Is there a Habitat Restore for furniture or building materials? Are there animal shelters for towels and blankets? Are there creative reuse centers for craft supplies or senior centers like nursing homes that want craft supplies or games or puzzles or things like that? Are there teachers that are looking for art supplies? Are there things that you can give away to specific people or specific organizations? And just think about, like, who's near and dear to your heart, right? Are there causes that mean a lot to you? Are you really here for the animals? Are you here for the women that need help from a domestic violence, you know, situation? So think about what really feels good to you. Google your local resources, call them up, see if they publish a list of needs that they want, and then figure out if you have things that you want to donate there, that you're ready, that you're willing, that you already wanted to part with, and they're looking for them. What a wonderful match. What a wonderful synergy, right? To be able to say, oh gosh, I don't want this anymore, but I'm able to go bless someone else. I'm able to give this to someone else. And it's going to mean a lot to them. They actually need these things, okay? So if you have the time, look up local, find those places. Consider volunteering at some of those places. It has been incredibly enriching volunteering at this organization that we do. And now I know every time I go, we look through our things and see, hey, are there any kids' toys that you're not playing with? Are there any, they don't take any clothing, so it's all furniture stuff, but are there any home goods or things that we're not using that we're ready to declutter? And I can take them right there. I know exactly who they're going to. And then we've actually seen, I took a office chair and I've actually seen it on their Instagram showing that it's in someone's home and someone's utilizing it. It is so cool. It feels so good. And they need these things. And it's just chef's kiss, heartwarming. I love it. It feels amazing. So think about that. Are there places you can donate that are local that feel really good to you? All right. The fourth step or the fourth place you can get rid of your items is through specialty recycling. For the things that nobody's going to take, okay? There are so many ways that we can get rid of the things that are bad. So earlier in this episode, I told you that I was separating out our clothing, right? So there are clothes that no one's going to buy. I'm not donating them. I'm thinking like used underwear, holes, the shirts with a hole in it, something with a stain on it, things like this. So one that is new that you might not know about yet is Target. Now, in California, this has been rolled out amongst all of the Targets, and they're calling it the textile drop spot. And it's in every Target in California, which is awesome. It is going to make such a big impact in this state, and I am so excited about it. They will take clothing, sheets, towels, any condition, as long as they are clean and dry. Okay? It just has to be clean. It does not have to be in good condition. The idea is that things are going to get recycled. They're going to sort them and go through them and recycle them. California is making a big step in this this endeavor. We have composting that is across our state, and that's mandated now. So I have a compost bin that's at my house, which I love. I can get rid of my food scraps and our lawn scraps, and I know it's going to be composted instead of just put in the landfill. And they're doing this, and we've gotten rid of plastic bags. Now we're into paper bags, which again, everything is good and bad. Everything has its pros and cons. Someone's going to come at me and saying that the paper is bad now too. I get it. nothing is perfect. Again, remembering nothing is perfect. But these big systemic changes make a much bigger impact than an individual person, right? So again, this is a lot of us doing things a little bit better, and it's going to make a huge difference versus a few of us doing things amazingly and perfectly and just to the T, okay? So target, definitely look to take any of your worn things there. So that's what I'm doing. Good things, I'm going to take them to be donated so that other people can buy them and use them. And the things that I know no one is going to buy or want are going to go to the Target textile drop. If you don't have a Target that's doing the textile drop spot yet, look for H&Ms in your area. So if you live near an H&M, they will take your textiles as well. And if you don't have either of those, Trashy is my favorite. Okay, so Trashy, you pay for, it's like $20 for the bag. They mail you the bag. It has return shipping already paid for within that $20. And you can ship up to 15 pounds of textiles. I think you can also send shoes, but I'm going to tell you where to send your shoes in just a minute. But I do think you can include shoes in Trashy as well. Okay, so those are my three ways to get rid of textiles, which are some of the biggest offenders. Another offender that's really big are shoes, okay? So there is Soles for wearable shoes. There's Got Sneakers, which I actually just requested my first bag from Got Sneakers. So I'll give you an update on that in the future. But they actually will pay you for your good enough shoes. I don't anticipate getting paid for any of my shoes. That's not why I'm doing it. I just want to have someone recycle our shoes. So if they're only recyclable, they'll recycle them for you. And you won't get paid out, but it's free for you to use. They just take the processing fees from your payouts. So we'll see if I get paid anything, but I anticipate my husband's going to have quite a few shoes. You saw me declutter my shoes. The shoes that I decluttered, I think, are sellable. So I'm going to try selling those and we'll see what happens. But I'm excited to try out Got Sneakers. Nike is also good for worn out athletic shoes. And then some stores will have drop-offs in their stores as well. So if you have a DSW near you or a Famous Footwear, something like that, call these stores and see if they have a shoe recycling program because you might be able to drop off your shoes there. Okay, another thing people ask me about all the time are makeup empties. I don't get nice makeup anymore, guys, so I don't really worry about this. But I remember back in the day when I used to get MAC makeup when I was in high school and actually, like, you know, get nice makeup for myself, that I would take my things back to MAC. And every 6 you turned in, you got like a free lipstick, which was amazing. That was so cool. I don't know if MAC does that anymore. I've seen mixed reviews on it. And honestly, I don't buy department store makeup anymore, so I don't know. But I know that Ulta has bins in every store where you can drop off your empties. I think Nordstrom has them in every Nordstrom and Nordstrom Rack as well. So if you have either of those near you, you could also call Sephora. I don't know if Sephora takes back empties, but I know Ulta does. Okay. And then electronics, Best Buy and Staples will both take these things. They both are free. They do have daily limits. I was kind of bummed when I went to my local Staples, and I think I can only donate like 10 batteries a month. They also take all sorts of electronics. You might have to pay if it's a big TV for them to recycle it, but they do take those things. They also take cables, cords, like Christmas lights, I think. So that's a great place to drop off anything electronic if you have. And then let me talk to you real quick about batteries. So yes, Best Buy and Staples both have limits. We're not throwing batteries away, okay? Can we just not? Because here's why. There has been a problem, and you've probably seen this online. You've probably seen it on your TikTok or Instagram, where trash trucks are catching on fire because of the lithium ion batteries. They start fires. So that's really bad. Then they catch the trash truck on fire. So if you were really upset about throwing all your stuff away, now think about catching a trash truck on fire. Okay. Think about what that's going to add to the landfill. So we don't want to do that. Batteries do not get thrown away. Make sure we're disposing of them properly. And Call to Recycle is a program for batteries as well. Okay. So just a little caveat there in case you need to throw your recycle your batteries, dispose of them. Dispose is the word I'm looking for. Dispose of them in the right way. And then the last thing, I got on my soapbox about this a little bit before, but the fifth way to get rid of your items as you are decluttering is to actually throw them away and let it go. right? Some of the stuff that you are finding, that you are wanting to get out of your house, is actual trash. It is literal garbage. You don't want it. No one else wants it. Do not kick that can down the road and make some poor person who's volunteering or working there for low to maybe even below minimum wages make the decision for you. This is the one place I told you about was not the only place I have volunteered. We also volunteered at a place with clothing donations. And that was also very eye-opening to see what people would donate for their clothes. So again, we don't want to be donating things that aren't worth wearing, right? If you wouldn't, okay, I understand that you don't want to wear it, right? I get it. I get you don't want to wear it. Would you gift it to your friend to wear it? Would you gift it to a neighbor to wear it? Would you gift it to someone that you had to see them again after you gave it to them? If the answer is no, it needs to be recycled. It does not need to be given to someone else who's already down on their luck, who's likely getting clothes hand-me-downs. We want to boost those people up. We do not want to make them feel less than, okay? That's not what we're looking for. That's not how donations work, okay? I just want us to know that, right? Let's just put that out there right now. We want people, when we're donating our things, to feel good because they got this thing. They want to feel like, wow, that was so generous of people. Like my faith in humanity is restored. That's what we want. Okay. None of this like, yeah, of course I'm going to get the garbage. That's what people give me. That's how other people see me. Okay. That's not it. All right. Okay. So think about that as you're donating and decluttering and getting rid of your textiles, if or anything in your house. Would you feel comfortable having to see the person that you gave this item to again? And they knew you gifted them that thing. If you are like, ooh, I'm so embarrassed. That's so gross. Like, ew, I can't believe I did that. Then figure out another way to get rid of it. With one of these other two or three, you know, the things from 3 and 4, that's where those things go. Okay. So look back at that. And then I'm going to keep harping on this because I think this is the number one thing. Again, remember I said, I want you to shift after you've decluttered. I want you to shift your mindset from decluttering to inflow. I want us to make sure stuff doesn't just come back into our house. And I know that that person that commented on my Instagram post that I look like I'm just buying things to declutter for content. Trust me, I am not. I don't have that kind of money. That's not my life. They said I was very environmentally unethical. You know what? Again, I also need my own advice sometimes. I also sometimes get down in the dump and buy things that maybe I didn't actually need, but it was filling a need for me at that time. I also want to be better about what I buy and bring into my home. So I also am listening back to my podcast episodes and saying, oh yeah, that was good advice I gave. Oh, right. I needed that reminder too. That's why I'm here. I'm on this journey with you. I do not claim to have it all figured out. I do not claim to be perfect. I am 100% a work in progress. And I'm along for the ride with you. I just hope you are able to learn from my journey, that you're able to learn from seeing me do this as well. And know that we're getting better every day. We're making progress. We are going through the motions. We're practicing so that we're better next time, okay? And before I leave, I want to come back to this idea that if we can make some systemic habit level changes, we will make so much more progress than one person recycling their makeup empties, okay? That having the textile drop spot in all of California Targets is going to move the needle quite a bit. Once people know about it, once people understand it's there, so many people are going to Target on a regular basis. You can decide what you want with Target right now. I've seen that also on my feed, people not going there. I'm not going to make the political statement that you should or shouldn't shop there, but you don't have to shop there to drop your stuff off there. Okay? You can still drop your stuff off there. No matter what you feel about Target, I don't think they're making money on the textile drop spot. I don't actually know. Maybe they do. But it's also a way to get your clothing recycled in an easy way for you that's not going to cost you any money. So I don't know. We take our wins where we can get them, right? Nothing is perfect. Nothing is going to be 100% how we want it or line up exactly with how we feel things should run. So we're going to do the best we can with what we've got and move forward from there. But other things like compost, I mentioned that. We have composting. So California passed a law that we're trying to keep 75% of organic waste out of landfills. And so that's what this law is aiming to do, right? Get people to put their food waste separated already. So now it can go and be composted instead of it filling up the landfills, because so much of that is just creating problems. Nobody in our neighborhood opted in for that. Everybody got a green bin and it gets picked up every week. Okay, so it actually, the adoption has risen. I see every single one of my neighbors puts that bin out on Monday mornings. Every single one of them. We're all using it. We're all doing it. Everyone got a little bin to put in their house. So people are composting because it's now the expected norm. So what other things can we do? How else can we do that? Can you call your congresspeople, your state representatives, your local representatives, and see what they can do? Tell them what you want. And the more we can do this, the more we can voice it, the more you can point to, hey, California does this. Is there a way we can do that in this state as well? The more they hear from that, the more likely it is to at least get some daylight, get some talks, get a little bandwidth. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I'm not saying it's going to work 100% of the time. I'm not saying that it'll even get adopted, but at least it gives you something to shoot for. So the more that we can get these bigger systemic changes done, the better it will be for everyone. So aside from calling your representatives, another thing you can do is actually to vote with your dollars and spend money with companies whose values match yours, right? You might want to be shopping a little more locally. You might want to be supporting smaller mom and pop shops. You might want to be supporting more local donation centers where you can see that impact right in your community. Those are the choices you get to make. And those are the things that you actually can control. So go ahead and control those things that you can and let go of the things that you can't. And don't worry so much about it being everything, making sure that it's everything to the T. That's going to make you feel guilty and not feel good about yourself and get you overwhelmed, okay? And if you've listened to this show for more than this episode, then you already know it's those little changes that I recommend that are going to add up over time and tip the scale, make a big difference for you. I don't want you to declutter your entire house on a Saturday. I want you to spend 10, 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes at a time if you're doing a big declutter. I did a post this week about my garage. I spent 15 minutes actually in there getting into the bins. I did a lot. I think I got into six bins in 15 minutes and found quite a few things to declutter. And again, say what you will about why I'm finding all these things to declutter, but it doesn't have to be the entire garage. It can be a few bins at a time. And today I'm going to go through some more bins, and tomorrow I'll go through some more bins. And before you know it, I will have gone through everything in my garage. I will have gone through everything in my house, and it's going to be in less than 20 days or maybe in 20 days. And I think that that is what's surprising to people. They think you have to do everything. You think you have to do your whole house, everything this weekend. That is not how we make progress that feels good and doable and achievable and not overwhelming. Okay. So small wins, 10 minutes, set a timer, go for it, see what you can do. The same thing for your donations. I want you to take as much time as you need to separate them, sort them, put effort into it. You put effort into bringing it into your house. You probably spent an hour. You drove somewhere, you looked for something, you walked around, you shopped, you were discerning, you paid attention, you decided this is the thing I want. You went, you spent your hard-earned money for it, you brought it home, so you drove back home and you found a place to put it and you've been using it or it's been sitting in a drawer, but it's taking up space in your house. I want us to put a fraction of that energy into sorting our items to declutter them or to donate them, okay? To dispose of them, whether that is donation or recycling or, you know, actually having to throw it away. But if we just spend a fraction of that time, you won't feel so overwhelmed. You won't feel so guilty about letting go of your things. And I think that holds so many people back when it comes to decluttering. They feel so guilty. They think, ugh, I don't even want to think about it because I know I'm going to feel bad about myself. So let's let go of that. Let's just dispel it. Spend a little bit of time on it, and you are going to see the progress you make, and it's going to actually help you not impulse buy as much in the future. Okay? All right. This week, I want you to take a bag somewhere, please, anywhere. Anywhere that sounds good to you. Maybe it's a buy nothing group. Maybe you're taking it to a shelter. Maybe you're taking it to one of those drop spot bins. Maybe you're taking it to an H&M. Maybe it's going to an actual trash can. That's okay. I just want you to pick one place, let it go, get it out of your house, and then know that you're going to be okay. Okay. I've watched thousands of women do this. Almost nobody regrets letting something go. I even have an update. I used to say that the one thing I regretted letting go of was my snowboard. I actually got a snowboard from my neighbor, and I just picked up some free, through my Buy Nothing group, snowboard boots that fit me like a glove that are so much nicer than my last snowboard boots. And I cannot wait to ride this winter with them because it's going to be amazing, and I'm so excited about it. And so there it is, right? The one thing I regretted letting go of now has come back into my life for free. So great. All right, you can do this. I know it's going to work out for you. Make sure you're checking out the show notes, wannabeclutterfree.com/324 for the resource I'm going to have for you that lists all of those places where you can actually donate or declutter your things in a more sustainable manner. I'm calling it the guilt-free exit plan. You're going to love it. Make sure you check that out, okay? If you're over on Instagram, you can DM me the word trunk and I will get it to you. Again, that's trunk, T-R-U-N-K, so we can get those bags out of your trunk right now. If this has been helpful, please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and share it with a friend. Maybe they need to know where their things should go as well. And stop feeling guilty about having to declutter all of the things in their house. All right, we got this. Happy decluttering. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wannabe Clutter Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.